Got a Heroes Breakfast coming up on Friday. If you are a veteran, come by Scramblers on Republic Road in National, and you're going to get free breakfast thanks to Scramblers, Delta Roofing, and Air Services Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing. How about them apples? They are delicious, I will tell you that. Also, we've got that event coming up. I say we. It's the Springfield Green County Park Board Dog Fest 2021. And you can bring your dog if you want. You don't have to if you just like to be around dogs, or maybe you want to buy something for your dog. It is at Chesterfield Park this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. There's going to be all sorts of dog agility demonstrations and expert seminars. You'll see the police canine demonstrations, therapy dogs, dog fashion show, and other things as well. We do have details at ksgf.com. We're going to chat with D. Wampler here in moments, as it is Wednesday. First, Jason Rima with the latest news update. First alert forecast, sunny, 70 for a high today, 46 tonight for a low, sunny, 74 tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, sunny with a high of 83. It is 49. Andy Wampler joins us this morning. Hello, good sir.
Good morning.
How do you do?
It is Constitution Week.
Oh, a whole week.
Friday was Constitution Day. 234 years. We have a republic if we can keep it.
Well,
the culture is changing. So you were mentioning this lady that turned up missing in Utah. Her body has
been... Gabby Petito.
So DNA has done its thing.
Whatever means that they did...
And the husband is lawyered up, the boyfriend. He's taken the fifth, refusing to talk.
He's disappeared.
Now he's missing.
The family... Yesterday, the attorney, I don't know if it's just for the fiance, I think it was a fiance, or for the whole family. I've heard him referenced as an attorney for the family. He was going to hold a press conference yesterday, then canceled it and said, well, I decided it wasn't in the best interest of my client to do that.
You think?
Yeah. It did not take long for people to turn against his family. They've begun, I want to say protesting, but making a presence outside their home, telling them to start talking. Now, this was even before she was located. One of the engaging aspects of it to me is, the human component of a parent when their child does something like this. And almost universally, the parent will defend their child, and so that to me that's not unusual, but at the same time people behave as if it is the most unusual and barbaric thing to do.
From the legal standpoint, talking about Constitution Week, the first 10 amendments protect you and stops the government from doing things in your life, and nobody really likes the Fifth Amendment until it's them or somebody in their family. And the first person that says we shouldn't have those laws like the Fifth Amendment, if they get arrested, they're saying, I want my rights. I want my constitutional rights. And it's up to the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to all 12 jurors that he's guilty. And right now, they're probably going to get search warrants, have already, for his phone, for his provider, for his computer,
and
any other thing that they can get. It's going to be a tough case to make.
Well, if he hasn't killed himself. I think there's some speculation that's maybe what he did. He went off because he said he went for a hike, which I don't know. That seems like BS to me. You're in the middle of all this. Like, hey, guys, going to go for a hike. Yeah. I don't know about that. So either he is fleeing, trying to get away so he can escape, or his escape is to take his own life and they'll find him. Or maybe they won't. It's alligator-infested areas that he's said to have gone to. So,
and flight is definitely admissible. So, they have...
Is there anywhere you can go if you do find yourself in that situation that you...
And not be extradited back to America?
Yeah, be pretty safe.
Well, there are a few countries.
I always wonder that. I'm amazed. This is one of the things I've noticed. It seems as if 90% of the time when there is somebody that escapes from jail, they are found
within a few hundred feet of the jail.
Even if it's a week later, they'll be found nearby. And I don't know if it's laziness or it's like, well, you know, I'm probably going to get caught anyway. So but that's amazing to me. They don't immediately go for the border somewhere. But anyway, what do I guess that's, I don't have a criminal mind. More with D. Wampler here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Ladies and gentlemen, D. Wampler.
So it was Gone Girl, 2014. A thriller mystery.
That was a...
Where she tries to frame the husband and act like she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's mad at him because he had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
This started in Carthage, Missouri. Maybe you knew some of these people.
Yeah. Well, it's actually partially loosely based off my story.
Is that what it is? You have the right to remain silent.
Well, and what's funny, idea. So I went to high school in Carthage, which is where that is, the story is based. But much of it was filmed in Cape Girardeau, where I was born. So, see, I've got two connections there.
You certainly
do. That's about it. My claim to fame. I don't got a lot, but what I got, I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot of interesting things to talk about.
Well, I hope so.
First of all, it's going to be a cold winter, according to the Farmer's Almanac. So, better get your woolies out. It's going to be unusually cold.
Your parkas and mukluks.
Uh-huh.
Has there ever been a retro look at how accurate the Farmer's Almanac is? Because every year we're like, oh, here's what it says. And we're like, ooh, all right, it's going to be wet and cold, or it's going to be... And then I'm like, well, I don't even remember what it said last year. And I don't remember what it was last year.
Your listeners would know that because they're very smart. Anytime we say anything wrong, we get corrected right away.
Yeah, that's true. But in a very cordial way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I agree. And I'm glad for that. That's the whole point, is to produce information that, well, it's entertaining and engaging, but at the same time accurate. And so if I do say something erroneous, to have people say, oh, actually this, that way people who listen know that ultimately they have the greatest likelihood of getting accurate information here.
Do you ever think about, well, let's put it this way. I think about the most important people that are alive right now that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that I admire, like my ministers,
mm-hmm.
John Lindell, John Burchett. Dr. Robert Ashcroft was a wonderful person. Dr. Robert Spence. The Hershen family. Dr. Jerry Davis, the president of Hard Work University. And the friends that I have a lot of friends that are Democrats, liberal Democrats, some that are agnostics and atheists, but I can talk with them and not take it personal,
mm-hmm.
and they don't take it personal. And you have your heroes breakfast and things like that. I love to talk to veterans and be around veterans and ask them what their service was. And it's amazing how we have a fraternity. We all get along with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to say that, you know, we need to, a rising tide lifts all boats. If you in your life will associate, and this is what I tell my grandkids, try to associate with students that are smarter than
yeah,
you.
Right.
And study with them, because you will learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully better than you, a better person that you can look up to.
There's this claim, I suppose, I've read that it has a degree of accuracy that if you combine the salaries of the five people you spend the most time with, their salaries, or if you average it out, would be about what yours is. And I think that's because, you know, of what you're talking about there. Birds of a feather flock together. And if you are, let's say that you begin to spend time around people that are more successful in their careers, then that generally will compel you to do the same. And if not, your lifestyles are different enough that you eventually won't be spending as much time with those people.
Mm-hmm.
But lifestyle habits are the same. You know, I don't think an individual who doesn't have a healthy lifestyle is probably going to spend a great the the greatest amount of their time around five people who have very healthy lifestyles and vice versa.
I spent 4 years with Matt Canovi on the gun show, and I learned so much from that man.
Right.
And he would encourage me to read and study and learn about gun laws. And he was just a somebody. I've met Ronald Reagan and J. Edgar Hoover, and I've been in the presence of President Kennedy and a lot of great people. Somebody that I would really like to talk to is Mark Levin, the great one.
Right.
I mean, he has some of the best in-depth interviews on Fox News. I believe it or not, I have his series recorded so that I can go back and watch some of his interviews. But you talk about an intelligent 1 hour.
Very informative.
Very.
Very informative. We really have a really great lineup here. Some people who don't listen, they may think, oh, it's just all the same. It's not the same at all. While the ideology is generally in line in terms of liberty and freedoms, the personalities are different, the perspectives are different. And Levin is one, if you take a great interest in the actual founding and the Constitution and its connection to what liberty actually is, I mean, that's the guy to absolutely listen to.
And I think the reason why your listeners are groupies to Nick Reed is you give us a different view sometimes.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I'll listen to you in the morning, and I'll think, you know, that's clever. I should have thought of that. Why didn't I think of that?
Well, I appreciate that. That is because I don't have a lot of offerings in life. So if that can be one of them, where I just put something out there, fortunately, my mind being a little bit off.
You are a little strange sometimes.
You'll be like, now how on earth anyone would ever come up with that? But it is sort of interesting. I'll take it. I'll use it. I like it. It's exercising the mind. I think it's healthy. That's something that we have less and less of because of the easy access to information. You don't have to figure things out anymore. You just get online. And so that exercising of the brain where you're hearing things or reading things or watching things that all of a sudden your mind, I see it as this little maze. And, you know, there's the standard path with no deviation at all. And it just becomes this repetitive sort of rote pattern of the same thing over and over again. You get atrophy in your brain, just like your physical body does. And then if all of a sudden you hear something or you learn something that you didn't ever think of or that you didn't know about, it goes, boom, off to the right or to the left. Or I'm not talking politically, but it's something different. It's a different, you know, it's making your mind do something that it didn't before, and I think that's healthy.
Are those
you'll live longer.
Dendrites in the brain?
Oh, I have no idea.
For instance, let's say you know nothing about classical music or arts. Mm-hmm. Well, you should go to the symphony. You should go to the art museum and force that part of your brain that's dormant to bounce around in the brain and interest you, and the next thing you know, you might become fascinated with classical music, which opens up a whole new avenue in your life.
And then you go from there to a hot dog eating contest. you really mix things up a bit. Mm-hmm. Use all parts of your brain.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
There's a lot. The older I get, sometimes the less I really know. Like, for instance, right now, I wish somebody would tell me, am I supposed to get a booster shot for Delta? I mean, I've had COVID, and I've had two Modernas. What's the current?
Well, it sounds like Biden and Fauci are like, yes, but all the other experts said no. The FDA had that panel, I think, of 18 that voted, 16 voted against it, 2 voted for it. And it seems as if most of the people that we're told we're supposed to listen to are saying, no, don't. Now, other than a small segment of the population, perhaps, but at this point, they say there's not nearly enough data, but it hasn't seemingly stopped some politicians from pushing it.
No, I'm looking for an answer. Seriously,
I know. I'm telling you,
it's been 8 months now since my second shot, and I wish. Does anybody really know? Are you supposed to get another booster now? There's going to be spinoffs of COVID-19. We're down to Delta, and then they think the virus will spin off again and again and again.
Well,
and be less resistant.
I still think there's a possibility, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of focus on this, that you having had it, that natural immunity may actually be a much better defense than any of the vaccines you've gotten. Sadly, the United States is a country that is choosing willfully to ignore that component of all of this, while other countries have focused on it, and they found in their studies that so far that seems to have the real longevity as the natural immunity.
I would like to live long enough to the next election, 2022,
Are you sure?
so that I can get my vote in there.
Yeah. Well, get some early voting and
vote early and vote often.
Yeah, or just if you want, I'll request an absentee for you or an early vote ballot and posthumously cast a vote for you. We've got Dee Wampler with us. We're going to take a quick break. We've got traffic ahead. A look at the weather as well. Cooler. We're going to drop down into the 40s tonight. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. A1 Custom Car Care, all of your car care needs. I've been talking the last couple days about fleets, the importance of fleets, and if you do have a fleet, particularly if you are a local business, you recognize how much of a detriment having one of your vehicles down can be. It's no really different at times than having personnel gone for a week or two at a time. That can put jobs behind schedule. That can mean that you have to call clients and say, listen, I know we scheduled this appointment, but we're going to have to put it off. That can mean less revenue. So not only do you have the cost of, you know, the vehicle needing to be repaired because of an unexpected breakdown, but then you have the loss of revenue coming in. Fleet maintenance is very important. Talk to the folks at A1 Custom Car Care about what that looks like and how that can help you, and determine whether or not that's a relationship that you can benefit from. I suggest there's a very good chance that you can. All of their contact information is under Nick's endorsements at ksgf.com. First alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny, 70 for a high today, 46 tonight, 74 tomorrow. Friday and Saturday, sunny with a high of 83. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it does appear as if perhaps those horribly hot days are over. We've got Dee Wampler in studio with us this morning.
The Haitians are coming. The Haitians are coming.
Oh, yeah, by the hundreds, or not hundreds,
well,
but tens
it's right
of
up
thousands.
To 15,000 right now. Yeah. Who's in charge of the southern border security? Could that be Vice President Harris? And what is she doing? What is she doing?
Absolute failure.
These people are coming, they're swimming across the Rio Grande. They're coming from, the Haitians came up through Central America now. They're coming across the border that way. It's a different route.
It's a massive number. We were told they're being deported, but now there are whistleblowers saying they're not. They're being released into the U.S.
Putting them on a Greyhound bus.
I've never seen what appears to be such a consistent effort to do things that are damaging to the country by a president of the United States. And I really am beginning to wonder if Kamala Harris is not put in there just to try to make Biden look somewhat competent, because every time you think this guy has just lost it, and then she pops up and does something, and you're like, I don't know which of these two is worse.
Well, Haiti is objecting now. We're sending back 200 or 300 a day, flying them back to Port-au-Prince, and now they're objecting, saying, we can't handle these people. I mean, why are you sending them back to us? I mean, they're Haitians.
Well, I know somebody has to have asked this question, and it seems as if it would be easily verified. How are they getting from where they are to South America to where they can come up? That's an airplane ride, unless they're on boats. But the number of people that we are talking about suggests, I don't know. Has anyone looked into that? This is the sort of thing I should know. I imagine people are listening. They're like, yes, we need you to find this out, so you tell us. But you're talking about some pretty significant travel here that somebody has to be footing the bill for. That cost money, whether it is by way of boat or airplane, to get these people from that island of Haiti to South America, whatever point they're landing, be it again by air or by sea, and then traveling up. There are serious expenses there. Where is that money coming from?
These are great questions that we're pondering this morning. And they say in poor little Del Rio, Texas, which is a little town down there, how would you like to live there? They say there is a sea of crushed plastic bottles, old diapers, chicken bones, food containers, and
Liberal paradise.
Cardboard things used
liberal
as beds.
Liberal paradise.
I mean, it is miserable. Del Rio has 36,000 population, and they've just shut everything down. This small little Texas town is buckling under the crush of Haitian refugees.
The congressperson who has Del Rio in his district is a Democrat. I believe the mayor is a Democrat. Those individuals are screaming from, and they have for some time, about the absolute devastation that is being wreaked upon their communities. And it doesn't seem to matter.
So much for our culture.
So much for our country. I mean, it's insane. Absolutely insane. There was a bus of Haitians. This was a few days ago. Mm-hmm. They were being transported, and two of them commandeered. They took over, used force in order to take over, and then they ran, escape. You know, who knows where they are. I'm sure that their intent is to be upstanding, productive citizens of the United States, given that.
Is this a little old-fashioned to ask the question, who's paying for these people when they are put on a bus or flown somewhere inside the United States? Who pays for them?
In the U.S., it's us. I'm sure we're paying for
medical costs, school,
everything. Absolutely.
Housing. You know, does anyone worry about balancing the budget anymore? That's certainly a topic that's never discussed.
And again, the people who want to strap masks to two-year-old kids as they scream and cry are fine shipping in thousands of people from other countries and not requiring them to get vaccines or not requiring them to even be tested. This is yet another reason people don't buy. They're tired of it. They're tired of all these mandates. They're tired of being treated as Americans, as second-class citizens, where people who have so little respect for a country, they will come here illegally, and then they get treated as if they're part of the elite, where they don't have to wear masks.
They want to change our country. And there's supposed to be 8,000 more that are coming, that are on the way in the near future, in addition to the 15,000 that are already here.
And why does, I mean, I know this is rhetorical, so I shouldn't even put it in the form of a question, but the fact that you'll have some sort of football event referred to as a super spreader, but what you see happening down there on the border is of no concern to some of those same people. It's just, it's vile. And like I said, I believe it is a contributing factor as to why more and more people are saying, I'm done with all this stuff. I'm done with these COVID mandates, because if I am not treated like everyone else, and if you have all of these other people that come in and they get treated as above me and I get treated segregated as a second-class citizen, I'm done with it. It's I'm not going to do it anymore.
How would you like to be a Border Patrol agent down there in charge of
this? Yeah. And that's another component.
And they get into trouble.
Oh, they get frayed. They get lied about. You got the mainstream media out there claiming that they're riding around with whips like Indiana Jones, just whipping Haitians for fun, when they don't have whips, for Pete's sakes. I mean, they're not circus folk. They have reins. And so, in fact, I'll play for you. Let me, I don't usually play audio while you're here, but this is CNN, and the CNN host, who I'm not familiar with, some piece of work.
Certainly not the news.
Yeah. He's talking with Representative Henry Kohler. He's a Democrat congressperson who represents that area. You mentioned Del Rio earlier. And he's referencing this very issue, in which, once again, they continue to lie and claim that Haitian immigrants are being whipped by Border Patrol.
There, let me ask you about some of the images we're seeing of border guards on horseback chasing or charging migrants on these horses. At least one appears to use what looks like a rope or a lasso. These are Haitians who have crossed into Mexico to buy food and ice, because that's running out under the bridge, and then cross back. What's your reaction to what you're seeing here?
Well, you know, certainly we got to make sure we treat all the immigrants with respect and dignity. But I will say this, Border Patrol has had those horse brigades for a while. They've had them for a while. Number one. Number two, they don't carry whips and they do not carry lassos. I think the picture you're talking about at least the one I've seen, is the rein of the horses.
Should those be used, even if it's a rein question?
Well, again, if there was a problem, it should be investigated, and I think that's it. But we cannot paint the Border Patrol with the same type of paintbrush. Look, you know, they what are they supposed to do? Just stand there and let everybody come in? You know, they're supposed to be enforcing the law. But again, as to how you enforce the law, you've got to make sure you treat people with dignity and respect.
Yeah, but does the enforcing the law require what you're seeing there? Is that the way that people should be treated?
Yeah, again, that incident will be looked at. But again, that's not a whip. That is not a lasso. They do not carry that. That seems to be the reins and from the horse itself.
You're creating a distinction between swinging a rein at someone versus a whip. I don't know that, as we heard from the White House, that they make that distinction.
Well, if they don't, it's because they're morons. You ask anyone, you know, I say, all right, there's no difference. All right, well, Jen Psaki, all right, why don't you stand here? And I can either figure eight swing the reins around you, or I can hit you with a whip over and over again. If it's no difference to you, if it's just semantics, I guess you don't care which one you get. I think we know the answer to that. But you can hear CNN, it's just filled with people. They might as well be paid by the Biden administration. And this instinct to demonize Americans who are given a job by this administration. I can't imagine the frustration they have. Chaos is created. They're told to deal with it. Then they do. They're lied about what they're doing. And the White House joins in on the piling on, accusing them of doing things that are irreprehensible. I don't know why anyone in this country any longer with Biden and the Democrats in charge are in the military, are in Border Patrol, or are in law enforcement. I just don't know why anyone would get into any of those areas.
It's a miserable occupation.
Well,
for Americans to be down there trying to enforce.
Well, sure.
It is a crime, you know, to enter the country illegally. They're calling them immigrants, which is okay. But
well, that's
they're
like saying,
some,
yeah, that is no different than somebody breaking into your home in the middle of the night and saying, well, that's just a visitor. It's just someone who came to visit you. That's all. That's a house guest. No, it's not a house guest. They came into my home illegally. That makes them an illegal trespasser.
And there's no way to do a do-over. You can't send these people back.
Right.
There's too many droves that are coming. And these figures about 1.2 or 1.8 illegals that are living in America, that's a joke. There's a lot more, several million more, and it's adding up every day.
I know the vast majority of Americans polling do not believe Biden is doing a good job, but it's just amazing to me that you can have anyone go, oh, no, I think all this is going swimmingly. This is exactly what I hoped would happen when I voted for him. Inflation, American hostages in Afghanistan, hundreds of thousands of illegals pouring across the border who aren't required to get vaccinated and who at one point so many were testing positive for COVID they quit testing them and released them into the general public, just to name a few areas.
Did we know he was going to do this when he ran for president?
Well,
was this on his platform?
A lot of it was. In fact, one of the debates that he had, he said every one of the illegals, and he sent the message into the camera, that was turned away from the border by the Trump administration, that if I get elected president, we're going to bring you back. And, of course, then once it began to happen, they said it wasn't his fault. It was Trump's fault for putting out that invitation. So he did. And I think any reasonable person who would look at his track record would recognize that this guy never seems to make any right decisions when it comes to policy.
And how's this working for the Democrats that voted for him? And are they supporting him?
Some are. They do. They look at the. I'm telling you, it is total detachment from reality. Dee Wampler is with us more in moments. I'm Nick Reed. Dee Wampler, First Amendment.
Well, last week I talked about the Fourth Amendment. And I mentioned the Fifth Amendment today, but back to the Fourth Amendment. You have the right to be secure in your person, places, houses, and effects. And it's pretty awesome. Everybody's, I think, in favor of the Fourth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment probably wouldn't pass today if it was put up for a vote. But the First Amendment has got so much in it. And since this is Constitution Week, and last Friday was Constitution Day, it seems appropriate. There isn't a day goes by where we don't have a legal issue about the First Amendment. And the government is prohibited from establishing a church, which is important. But the other part of the First Amendment is the government, a person can have their own independent rights, and the government can't establish a church or prohibit the free exercise thereof. And that's very important, prohibiting the free exercise. And up until 1947, nobody had ever heard of separation of church and state. And one reason I'm interested in this, I've written several books on it, but we didn't really hear much about separation of church and state until 1947 in Everson versus Board of Education, where they pulled out a letter that Jefferson had written in 1802. But all I really want to say on this issue is there has never been and never will be what I call a strict separation of church and state. There never has been. And you hear it today like, well, you can't do that. That violates the separation of church and state. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has said that there must be an accommodation between the church and the state, the word accommodation. And that's why we have dozens and dozens of monuments and things in America today that mention God. I mean, you go to the Greene County Memorial Courthouse at Boonville and Central and look on their famous documents wall, and on that wall, almost every famous document that they have mentions God or Jesus. And, you know, it's hanging right there on the wall in our hometown. And if you look at, we have a prayer room in Congress. We have the Pledge of Allegiance as one nation under God. We have the Liberty Bell that has a Leviticus quote on it. And you just look at all of the documents today, of which there's really hundreds, which mentions God or Jesus, which is our culture. This is our history, our tradition, and our culture. And so generally, if as a defense lawyer in these matters, I'm a member of the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a group of Christian volunteer lawyers. If you look at our motto, One Nation Under God, and in many cities and towns, they're taking those down. It is our history, our tradition, and our culture. Now, today, unfortunately, it's all being watered down. But anyway, that's my little dissertation on the take on the First Amendment is don't forget, you have the right to free exercise of your religion. And that's very important to citizens. We just don't think about what our constitutional rights are. And if you don't use them, you'll lose them.
You mentioned the importance regarding history and culture of who we are. It's also the very roots of our freedom and liberties, because that is the recognition under God that we are free and that government is not over. We're not under government. We're not under man. We're under God. And that's why it's so important today, if you believe in individual liberties, individual rights, and that they should be respected. It's that understanding that this country was founded on the idea that we are all created equal in the eyes of God, and that's, you know, that's why we have those liberties and freedoms. And so, you know, it's important in not just historically, but today, if you believe in those things.
And we're told as Christians to go out and subdue the earth, and we know that we'll be criticized. And in fact, you know, nobody's really against God, right? So in your daily speech, you can say, well, I don't know if God would approve of what I do. Well, nobody's really going to object to you mentioning God, but boy, you want to get in trouble, you mention Jesus. You are in for it. That Jesus said or Jesus taught, that will get you some criticism. And so, you respect people that have different faiths. you have to respect them. And under our law, certainly the government has to be neutral and must remain neutral. But citizens have to speak up, and otherwise our history, our tradition, our culture, it's all being taken away from us. That's what's really sad in, as a senior citizen, to see the way things were back when I was a small boy, and how it's changed now. Morally, are we better off today, Nick, in America as we were 50 or 75 years ago? In many ways, we are better off with medical advances, scientific advances, computers, cell phones, you name it. We're better off. Morally, is our country better today than it was? I mean, I ponder these things, and I wish that I could make a difference.
From a simplistic logistical standpoint, I've always thought one aspect of the separation of church and state argument that gets overlooked is that it is an impossibility, because if you were to say and believe that there is supposed to be a complete separation between the two, who enforces it? Who would enforce it? You can't say the government, because there has to be a complete separation. So it actually is an impossibility to have that idea of total separation of church and state, because, well, the courts decide, but the courts are part of the government. You can't say there has to be a complete separation, but then say, oh, but the government then is the one who gets to decide. That's not a separation. That's a direct involvement. But, you know, that aside from the history and the motivation behind it all, I've always thought was an area of impossibility, even if you wanted it to be that way.
And we're told in the Bible to keep ourselves pure. And a lot of the people that are objecting to the shots are saying,
right, yeah,
it's sure. Against my religious belief to have the vaccination, which do they have the right to do that under our current laws and COVID-19. I mean, that's their argument, that they have the right to free exercise of their religious belief.
D. Wampler, is always a great pleasure, my friend. Appreciate seeing you.
Well, I don't know that I said anything really brilliant.
No,
today,
you said a couple things.
Thank you. I'll see you next Wednesday.
All right, talk to you next Wednesday. D. Wampler, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.